Tomorrow, I'll invent those blueprints. Tomorrow, I'll...
What's going on, people? It's your boy, Corey. And my man, Mr. Kirk.
What's up?
And welcome back to Tomorrow Isle, people. What will you do tomorrow? What will you do today to achieve your creative dreams? I'm Corey. That's Kirk. And we got a special, special guest in the studio today by the name of Allison. Just Allison. Yes. Nothing else. One of those one-name people. You know what I mean? Super famous. Super famous. What's going on, Allison? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
No Thanks problem. For coming on the show.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, man. Yes. So, what are we talking about today? What's on the agenda?
What's on the agenda? So we're going to be talking to Allison today of creative framing.
Ooh, creative framing.
Yeah.
What's that? For the audience at home, you know. I'm like doing it one, like one of those children's shows. Like, hey, kids, what's going on? It's Tomorrow Isle.
Where you just pretend not to know anything?
They do, don't they? Yeah. I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, you know what a dog is. Come on now. Like, look at this guy. He's got his own show. Like, doesn't know what.
Why? Here's why are you watching kids shows? Like, why are you watching kids informational shows? I guess is a better question.
I'm just saying I remember them. I'm saying that I don't watch them like now.
I thought you were brushing up on some topics.
On my ABCs. Simple math. Sometimes,
yeah, if you ever become a parent someday, you'll be watching all those shows again.
Exactly. True. I'm just getting ready.
Been there. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Anyways, welcome to the show, guys. Yes. So creative framing, what's it about? Where to get started? Mm-hmm. What do y'all do?
So I'm a custom picture framer. I frame... Ooh. Just about anything. I frame so many things. Mm-hmm. Almost anything. I'm sure there are definitely limitations.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, possibly.
Yeah. It can get crazier than you think, though. But yeah, I've had my own business since 2004. Nice. But I've been framing since 96. So it's been like 20 plus years. And I started my business out of my basement, really.
Oh, wow.
I had gotten out of framing for a little while. And within a month of starting a totally different job, I realized how much I missed it. So I started doing it out of my house.
Nice, nice.
Very nice. So what got you into framing in the first place?
Yeah.
I actually totally fell into it. I went to school for studio art graphic design. Yeah. And... graduated and worked at one of the local craft stores.
Oh, nice.
And the manager in the frame shop, I was managing the art department, and the manager of the frame shop was going on maternity leave. And the managers approached me and said, hey, you've got an art background. You'd probably be good at this. Are you interested? And I said, well, does it pay more? They said yes. And I said, okay, let's give it a shot. So,
if it didn't, then you're just like, no.
I might have a very different story today.
That's fair.
Exactly.
I might still be managing the art department. So. Yeah. So little did I know that was going to be a full-time career path. So.
Sure.
Yeah, that works.
And I feel framing, I feel like, I don't know, it's one of those things that you don't realize just how good you have to be at it until you attempt to do it yourself. Like, after the first time I tried to cut a mat, I was like, nope, never again. Like, I just nothing but frustration. I'm like, this isn't even a rectangle. What was I doing? So,
yes.
Great, great appreciation.
It takes a lot of practice. I've definitely put in, what do they say, like 10,000 hours. Mm-hmm. I've definitely done that. And I do so many different things for clients. And some people just have me cut mats for them because they cannot stand doing it. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really kind of funny. I found my old portfolio from college, and this was after I was in framing, and I went through it just to sort of like, hey, let's look at these projects I worked on in school. And we cut our own mats back then, and they were awful. we used like whiteout to cover the corners and the overcoats, and we used like masking tape. And I was mortified as a framer, like looking back, I was like, oh, this is so bad. So bad.
Gosh.
Yeah. I remember we had to do that too back in school. And that was always like my least favorite part. Like any day we had to mount, I was just like, yes. Because it's like, you just put rubber cement on the bag and just like, boom, there you go. But they're like, oh, you have to do that. And I'm like, no. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing this. Not making a hinge. No. I'm like, I already did the piece. Like, this is the work. Here you go.
You did. Yes. Yes. That's so funny. Yeah. Totally get you. I know.
That's wild.
Yeah. That's something else though. Oh, so you do all sorts of like custom frames and all that stuff. You frame literally everything. That's what you said. So I'm going to hold you to that. But
almost.
It's in the fine almost. Print.
Yeah. I heard almost.
I heard everything.
Oh, I think I said almost everything. Yeah.
Almost
I think that's
everything. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes, like, my mind just, like, it takes out, like, certain words.
Just edits words.
It's
sometimes I hear what I want to hear.
Yeah. Shocking.
So when you were first starting, like in the basement and all that stuff, so was it a lot of like just kind of wood frames, or what else did you mess with? Did you mess with like metal or anything like that, or what was like your go-to?
Well,
like,
it was really frame? It was very kind of basic. I in the framing industry, a lot of places, in order to be connected with like the big suppliers, you have to have like almost a brick and mortar space. Mm-hmm. So working out of my basement, that wasn't really considered brick and mortar. There was like one supplier that I was able to work with, and they cater to anybody. You just order online. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of how I got started. And then I did that for several years, and then had the opportunity, it started to grow, and I made more connections and started networking with more people. And then I moved into the Hungerford building, which is here in Rochester.
Right.
And it's a great space, old industrial building, tons of character. And I shared a studio space with some other artists. And that was really a huge turning point for me, because, you know, I was able to expand a lot more, and being in a building with artists, I met a lot of people, and we were doing First Fridays. So we had a lot of people coming into the space, and it was so much fun. It was really great. So
Awesome. I've been to a few First Fridays over at the Hungerford building. Definitely miss those.
They're fun. There's so much to see. Like you really can't see everything in one night in that building.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
And that whole like the neighborhood of the arts area is just, they've got so much great stuff over there. It's really cool. Yeah.
Most definitely.
I've never been to any of the Fridays. I had meant to, but I never got over there. I was like, no.
Yeah. So it's super fun. And
yeah.
Now in my new space, I share it. I have a coworker, Peter Thomas of Editions Printing. He does fine art printing. So now, since we moved into the newer building, it's been almost 4 years now. It's awesome, because now we have our own gallery space, and we were doing First Fridays in our space now. And he does fine art printing and I do the framing. We work with a lot of clients together, which is really great. So it's amazing to see how things went from the basement and just super basic, and like now it's full-fledged busy. Yeah, like, I went to school for art. I had no idea what the framing industry was when I was in school, and if you had told me back then that I was going to be a framer and I'd have my own business, I would have thought you were crazy. I had no interest in running a business and any of like those logistics. I'm like, I'm going to be an artist. And there's so much involved in that dream.
Yeah, started from the basement. Now you're here. That's super cool. Like, we'll, you know, I think we have some prints that we may need to get made coming up. And I know Corey is in possession of a piece that I'm going to want framed. So we may have to talk off the air about
stuff
too.
And I'm a nightmare when it comes to proper framing. So, well, I guess when it comes to like picture planes and all that stuff, like I came from literally drawing on computer paper. So it's just like, okay, I'm gonna do doodle and whatever like that. And then like in school, like you do like, you know, the 18 by 24s and all that stuff. And
all the standard sizes.
All the standard sizes. And then there was just like a point where I'm like, I'm just gonna draw on this and see what happens. And I'm just like, woo. And then it's just like, it's like a little off center. So I have to like correct it with like artwork. And I'm like, well, if I trim this, then I could do that. Well, if I do this and do that, and I'm like, I could never go and actually get anything framed with a normal frame. Like, just, you know, all of it, like, you're going to need custom framing. I'm like, yeah, probably. Like,
well, but yeah, you guys keep me in business when with your not standard sizes. It's, I'm okay with that.
I know. I learned a few things.
I don't think artists should be confined to standard sizes. How's that?
I think so either. Because the thing is, it's like, what happens if you don't want to make something to that size? Like, you want to get a little crazy. Yeah. You want to, like, I guess, emphasize the content that you have. You know, maybe you want to do something super horizontal or, like, something super vertical or whatever. Or maybe you want to do a circle because you're crazy. And it's just like, you know, I want to be able to get crazy. I want to get crazy. But you got to have, like, that crazy money or, like, whatever to get that crazy custom framing, too. So, I'm a little less crazy.
Well, I had a client who brought in a piece that he did. He does super colorful geometric artwork. Ooh. And he did this piece that had a circle in the center and then like a triangle coming off the side. And he's like, can you cut a mat to fit that shape? I was like, yeah, I can.
So almost everything. Which
that's
means
so
everything.
Cool. And then this is really cool too. I had a piece that recently came in because I do get folks, and this is fun too. Folks will find old vintage frames. I just did some work for a client. She had these old antique frames. She needed them touched up and sort of cleaned and everything. And the old photographs of her family members. We did conservation glass and rag mats and we mounted it properly, like really took care of it. But this other client had this old frame and it was really tall and skinny. And you know, you guys have probably seen that that David Bowie mugshot, famous Rochester David Bowie. Well, we have a local artist who did like this super colorful, like bold print rendition of that piece. And this client wanted me to put it into this old antique-y frame, but there was like a ton of matting. There was going to be a ton on the top and bottom. Well, we have a laser cutter. We have a Glowforge laser cutter. So we laser cut the Rochester logo. And I painted some stuff on the mat to pick up the textures from the print. And did you see that one? The one
I'm It's up on your Instagram. So
cool. Yeah, it's on the Instagram.
What's the Instagram?
So it's just Instagram is creative framing, creative without the E.
So check it out. There's some really like that one definitely stood out to me. Is that a Delarious print? Is that who that is?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Delarious.
Yeah,
I have a couple of his things. I don't think they're on my corkboard right now, but I have a few of his stickers that I've collected over the years. Make some cool stuff.
He's got great stuff. We've got so many fantastic artists in Rochester.
Yeah
it's awesome.
That's crazy though. Like, so Yeah, so you don't have
to. So I like to think outside of the box.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see now. I'm trying to dip into that, like, almost everything.
Yeah, so like, what's the, I mean,
yeah.
What's the craziest thing you framed?
Hey, that was my question. I was about to ask that. See how I did it?
The craziest. So one of the coolest things I framed was actually a long time ago. I've framed all sorts of cool stuff, but one of the ones that has always sort of stood out for me, this client brought in a Bedouin face mask that women wear.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I can't even imagine them wearing this. It was so, because it had real gold coins draped along the front. What? And it had real hair braided.
Oh, wow.
And it was just really just so unique and different. And yeah, I'll never forget that one. That was pretty cool. I framed a signed photograph of Marilyn Monroe. That was really cool.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
There's all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People bring in everything. Yeah. I'll think of other things. Like, I've got this weird mental block at the moment, but I'll think of other things while we're talking. So,
well, what I was thinking of, trying to think of how like custom and how like creative this framing can be. So have you ever like done like any like wood carved like frames, like to frame a piece in? Something like that?
I really would love to start, because I'm an artist by nature, and I think that having that background is so beneficial to being a framer, because it does instead of just being very like, you know, straightforward, simple, mm-hmm. I like to really customize pieces and pull out some of the unique characteristics of the artwork that you can create like this really cool piece. But I've never, we have the Glowforge cutter, laser cutter, and I want to play with that more. And maybe do some engraving and designing on wood. Mm-hmm. I saw this really cool Instagram page for this framer in California, and she was like custom building these frames, and they're amazing. And I'm looking at it, and of course I'm trying to figure it out. Like, how does she do it? Oh, I recognize that thing. And so I want to do some more play and just like really bring some fun into it. And
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And that's like, something...
it's all about time, you know, having the time to do it.
Oh yeah. No, of course.
Yeah. I wouldn't even think about that. Like, my dad has been carving for probably 20 something years, and I never would have even thought to ask him to like embellish a frame for me.
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna have to bug him.
It would be really cool. Yeah.
I've seen like maybe one or two possibly, and I was just like, that would be insane to like do. And you know, like you said, Allison, like doing it in relation to the piece, mm-hmm. just to like add more to that piece and all that stuff. It would be you know, instead of having like a normal frame, like you have like, oh, this is like custom, like there's frame like this because it, you know, is associated with this piece. Like that'd be
I would love to get like the business has really grown over the last few years, moving into the Made on State building, which is fantastic. I definitely don't have as much time to pursue like my personal art. So I would love to, you know, somewhere down the road, be able to add on to that and really come up with some funky frame, something that's totally customized to my shop and totally unique. Mm-hmm. And
oh yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be wild. Like
the next step. That's on the list.
Yeah.
Not bad list to have though.
No, absolutely not.
No. Yeah. Well, I keep, you know, and it keeps it fun and creative and interesting because
you
got to keep it fun.
Yeah.
Oh, you must.
That's the
fun. Then.
That's right. That was the biggest lesson I learned substitute teaching. You need to figure out how to make it fun for you. Otherwise, you're going to be miserable. And then.
Yeah.
That definitely has applied to basically every other job I've done since then. Like, got to find the fun in this somehow. Yeah.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Or else it's just like, no.
No.
Boring. All right, that's where I find boring.
Yes.
I'm bored. I just walk out.
Like, I don't so no, like no being bored.
Neither do I.
I don't know anybody who does.
It's I mean, that's like, why we started this podcast.
No. Oh, yeah. We had nothing to do. It's just like we're inside and we got two mics and got two brains for the most part. I got like half a brain at least.
But between the two of us, on a good day, we had two brains.
Exactly.
But I've had enough
exactly.
sleep and donuts.
That's right.
Donuts. I want a donut.
Yes.
I said you can have a donut anytime you want.
Corey. Yeah.
Would you ever make a donut frame? Like.
No, but I
donut inspired frame.
Would. Yeah. No, I'm serious. I have these ideas for things I want to do sometime within the year.
Yes.
And I found some artwork that's inspiring these ideas. Mm-hmm. So I'll definitely keep you guys posted when that comes to fruition.
Yeah, yeah. Please do.
We're not going to divulge them right now.
We
don't want anybody taking these ideas because they're hot.
Well, it's all up here at the moment, but... Uh-huh. Anytime I've had big ideas and I verbally put it out there, things usually happen. And that's kind of fun to see that process. So
yeah, for sure.
It'll happen.
Donut frame. Donut frame.
Yeah, donut frame. Speaking of donuts, Corey, I think at some point we're going to have to put a, instead of powered by donuts, it'd be powdered by donuts.
Yes.
At some point, maybe work out a little sticker design or something like that for you.
Yeah, I'd say so. It is a problem.
Can I ask you guys, since we're talking about donuts, a little offshoot, what's your favorite donut?
Kirk, you go first, because
I like sour cream donuts. I think they're tasty. Yes. That you get that kind of glaze, but they also have they have a different texture than a regular donut, so I enjoy those.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes. Nice. Corey.
Well, I got one of my favorite donuts today. Two of them, actually. The plain fry cake is what I get down with. The thing is, they call them old fashioned at Tim Hortons and all that stuff.
Like the cider donuts?
Yeah, yeah. But they call them plain fry cakes down here, like fry cakes, and I'm like, or cake donuts. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. That's why I'll say that, so I don't like
cider
out.
Donuts.
They're I miss so good. Cider donuts are one of my favorites.
I miss those so much.
Is it the one though for you, Allison? A cider donut?
Coconut donuts.
Okay.
I don't know about that.
I haven't seen a coconut donut in a while.
Just try like wall to wall coconut.
I have Donuts Delight right up the street.
Oh,
what is that?
You don't know about Donuts Delight?
Wait, no.
Corey.
How can you say you're from Rochester and not know Donuts Delight?
Dude, I have a Donuts.
Like I'm being attacked right
now. I think there's a Donuts Delight mug at the house. I feel like I left my Donuts Delight mug in Austin.
All right. Yeah. Well, for the uninitiated, what is Donuts Delight? I mean, I know it's about donuts. You know, I love donuts. You had my attention right there. But what is the Donuts Delight? So the delights of the donuts.
The best donuts in Rochester.
What? Are they the best, though?
Rochester? For sure.
They're the best. Yeah.
Where's it at? Where's the location?
Empire Boulevard?
Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight are in the same space. Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, wow. All right,
it's in a cool little location, too. Like, it's like an old, it almost looks like a little old diner.
It's got like a 1950s kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it does have that kind of feel.
They do cannoli. Cool. Do they still do the cannoli donuts?
Yes.
What? Oh, yeah, cannoli donuts.
They do like apple fritters that are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
The cronuts are fantastic.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. They'll do some different. They got a good, if you like your frosted donuts, I think they had like a, it's been a while since I've been there. I remember like Cookie Monster and Oscar the Grouch donuts.
Yes, they do like the big ones that are filled with jelly and
Boston
cream and everything.
Next time you're home, Corey, you're going to have to go.
We're going to have to go.
You got to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, yeah. The only thing that's going to kill me in life are donuts, and I'll still eat them. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Still have them because that's just right.
So good. What's life without donuts?
Not living.
What? It's not even a question.
It's boring.
Yes, it is. It's terrible. It is very boring. Oh, man. Yeah, donuts delight.
No, I'm putting that on my list though. Can you ship donuts? Can you get them shipped? Can I order them and then be ship them?
I don't know if they would last. Yeah, you'd have to overnight
in a cooler. You know, they could do it.
I don't know. They're definitely best fresh, mm-hmm. but still, they're still good the next day. I'll tell you.
I mean, I'll eat them. Yeah, I'll eat them however I want to eat them. I don't know, but I mean, fresh is preferable though. I have to say, you buy a fresh donut. Whew, that's a good time for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to think now. Donuts Delight might be up there as one of the best donuts I've ever had.
Thinking in the world,
The
best though, guys. Yeah. The best though.
Telling you, Corey.
Definitely right. Top five.
Well, the thing is, I usually have the final say on donuts, so I have to try it first. You're gonna have to try right it. Now. It's it might be up there, but I don't know if it's the real deal.
You don't know if it's the real deal or not.
I don't know if it's
you just got to try. Just got to try it.
I will have to try.
There's no going back.
That's right.
No? Okay. All right. Oh, okay. I bet they're the best. They probably are.
Yeah.
I'll still deny it, though, just to go back and just be so that'd be wrong that these are good. Sure.
So he walks out with a box.
Yeah.
Speaking of, Allison, what do you think Corey's donut count is at this week? It's Thursday. Ooh, we usually start it. We go Monday to Sunday for his donut count.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So it sounds like you might have had two today.
Might have. I don't know. I'm a wild man. I could have had six, a half dozen. Could have had two dozen. Who knows? When my eyes get crazy like this, you never know how many donuts I've had.
That's the sugar rush right there.
Could be.
Wow. So
is that time?
I'm going to say somewhere between, six and eight.
Okay.
Am I on par or am I lowballing or highballing on that one?
Off of that G's, I was just like, she's gonna shoot real high on this. And I would say that you overestimated a little bit. Because I did play it up a little bit back there. I did the eyes and all that stuff. So yeah. It's a little high.
For the fake
But there's still time in the week, baby. Donuts in me. You know what I mean? There's literally, so this is me right here. Right outside the neighborhood, there's a donut shop. There's a gas station and a donut shop. And I go there at least two times a week. So there's still time on the clock for this to happen.
That's not bad.
We'll have to let you know at the end. We'll post it up on our Instagram at the end of the week. Corey's donut count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be,
Yes.
And you get the gas and all that stuff. You get fabulous prizes. Did we actually ever give out any prizes for that or no?
Did anybody ever guess it accurately?
Actually, I think two people did.
Oh, then we got some stickers. We got to send some stickers off, which you'll be getting some stickers, Allison, for being on the show. So thank you.
Woo! I love stickers. Some
new stickers. Oh, yeah.
We'll send some off,
too. I'm a kid of the 80s. I love stickers.
All right.
I gotta think of some more sticker ideas too for guests and all that stuff. Special guest stickers.
Guest stickers. Ooh.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So okay. Nice. So back to creative framing.
Yeah.
Framing.
We're just gonna have to have it. We're gonna have to do a donut show, talk. I think, Corey, at some point. Just do
we will
donut talk with Corey, especially after.
It's just therapy because I need it with donuts, but
you blew Chuck's mind. All right, we recorded an episode of a different show with my friend Chuck that was pretty much an hour and a half of Corey talking about donuts.
Yeah.
And we stopped I recorded, at Chuck's house with him, and afterwards he goes, I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk so long about donuts. He's like, I talk a lot, and the most I've ever talked about donuts was 13 minutes when this new donut shop opened here in Denver, and my wife was sick of it 1 minute into it. He's like, I can't believe it. It's like, he really has a problem.
I do. I'm addicted.
That's your addiction.
That's my addiction.
Mine.
It really is.
Strange addiction.
No, okay. And it depends on who you are. Real quick, and then we're going to get back to framing.
Yes.
I like to stay on task. But like...
really? Depending...
we're coming full circle back to the framing.
Depending on who you are, right? On what day of the week does the week actually start?
Oh, okay.
What do you guys think? Yeah.
Hmm.
Are you... You're asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking. I'm sorry.
So, for me, in my work brain, my week starts on Monday.
Monday.
I know technically it's supposed to be Sunday, but that never really made sense. Monday, yeah, for me.
Me either.
No.
I asked that because, all right, Kirk, what?
Definitely Monday.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Because here's the thing, Allison, you would have been on the money if the day of the week, or if the week started on Sunday.
Okay.
I had donuts on Sunday and I had donuts today.
Yes.
So if that gives you an idea of where the number would have been at or where it is now.
Gotcha. Donut consumption.
There
yes.
you go.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So, okay. So creative framing, bang, bang. That's what we're doing.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to remember so, now. So, whoa, hold on.
Hold on
a second. So, you have the brick and mortar set up, or is it online?
Yep.
Brick and mortar.
No, it's I've got a brick and mortar. Yeah, we're at 510 State Street, right down from Kodak, WXXI, all those landmarks, mm-hmm. Rochester landmarks, and we're in a 26,000 square foot building. We basically a bunch of us. Mass exodus came out of the Hungerford because we wanted to grow our businesses and I just wanted a little more different kind of a space for my business and we found this building and we met with the developer and it used to be the Rochester Welding Supply Building and it had been vacant for a number of years. The developer bought it, didn't really know what they were going to do with it, and then a bunch of artists come along. And,
yes, they do.
You know, we're like, we walk into this old, very raw, rundown building and we're like, oh man, the things we can do in this place, you know, like,
right.
your creative gears just start turning and you're like, I could have my business in this area. You guys could, that would be great over there. So they basically outfitted the building and fixed it all up for us. For our businesses and it's been pretty. I've never. It's pretty awesome to have this like business that you start. It's like this little tiny thing, and then it slowly builds, and you know, step after step, you know, you become this. I don't know. I never would have thought this would have happened. It's pretty cool. Sure.
So
yeah.
So do you also have the online presence as well, or is it just?
So I have a website. I tried doing for a short period of time, like putting together my own app and doing online framing. It didn't really pan out for my business. I'm pretty much a one woman show. So I do everything. I don't have any employees. So it didn't quite fit what I was going for. I'm a people person. And part of what I love about my job is that I can interact with clients one-on-one. I get to know them. I get to hear their stories. You know, most of what I get in the shop is sentimental. They have some sort of personal connection. And, you know, a lot of my clients have become friends because we end up sharing, you know, really wonderful stories and memories, and I get to be a part of that. It's a pretty unique way to be involved with people, preserving their memories, and it's pretty amazing. So the online thing didn't really work for me per se because I need that connection
mm-hmm.
right.
with folks.
Plus, so. Like with having to like probably ship things out, but also measurements and all that stuff. If someone's like,
I do some of that. I do have some clients that, you know, I'll do work for, and then they need it shipped. I worked for a short period of time with the Boston Museum doing some stuff for them, and that involved a lot of shipping. That's a whole other beast.
Yeah. Super, but, super fragile. Just like fragile stickers all over that thing, right?
That's crazy. Yes.
That's gotta be like a nightmare if anything ever, have you ever had anything that's been just ended up being like just kaput, like you just couldn't use it or whatever?
Yeah, I had one piece that I had shipped out, and it arrived, and it looked like it had been put through the conveyor belt. It had big holes, like the and we always shipped with plexiglass, and even the plexiglass was like broken, and things were poking in, and you know, so that had to be redone, definitely. But that's really the only one. I don't think I've really had any other big issues. I usually try to put it all together nice and tight.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. So do you do like any kind of restorative stuff too as you're putting the pieces together? Like if things need to be touched up or
I don't do any restorative work for artwork. My coworker, Peter Thomas, he can do digital restorations. Like some people will bring in old family photographs that have been ripped, or you know, they've been stained or some water damage. He can scan those and do some digital work and make a new copy of those, new reproduction. And it's amazing what he does, because that's a whole different world that I don't deal with. So he kind of handles that kind of stuff, but I don't actually do any restoration on original work at all.
Gotcha. That makes sense. So thinking about like,
Hey guys. Sorry about that. My internet like kicked out like right while I was like, answering a question. you guys were frozen. Yeah, I was like frozen.
I thought you were like contemplating for another minute. Like, I was really thinking about this. And I'm like, oh shit, he's frozen.
I love how like that was your first thought. Like he's just thinking real hard. That poor boy. He just got those gears grinding. The one guy that works up there is just like, he's just like, he's
like, do you recall your question there, Corey?
Thanks, man. Yeah. I do actually. I was just like, I was saying it and I realized that you guys are frozen. I'm like, wow, they're really listening in quite a bit. And I was just like, oh, they are frozen. You're making those exact faces too. It was that was good about the restoration thing. That's really interesting. With the shipping and all that stuff, I was asking, have you ever had like something that was being shipped?
Oh, you missed the answer to that question.
We actually kept running with that question while you were your question. It did get answered.
You're gonna have to listen to the podcast, Corey. You have to take your answer off the air.
Well, if you guys don't mind, I can So I have done, and this is another like little offshoot for the business that I've wanted to like play around with more. I did have a client that brought in an old antique frame, and part of the corner piece was missing. And they wanted to have it fixed. So I actually worked with a good friend of ours at the studio. He does casting. And he helped me cast and repair that corner piece. It was an amazing project. It like, you seriously could not have seen where the broken piece was.
Oh wow.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. And that's where, again, the artist background, because I had to paint and do touch-up work to blend it all and make it all, you know. It was really awesome. So I would have a lot of fun doing more of that too.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really cool. Yes. There you go. Even if you do like hit it. Oh, sorry. My bad. I was saying, even if you do like hit a snag like that or whatever, like there's still ways to obviously like fix it and stuff. So that's always good to know.
For sure.
There's all sorts of cool stuff you can do.
Sorry, Kirk.
So jumping back a little bit, thinking about, like you were saying, you know, you started in the basement and seeing your business grow into what it's become. What's something that you know now that you wish you would have known when you were in the basement?
Well, if you don't mind, I will tweak that a little bit.
For sure.
So I wish I had taken business classes actually when I was in school for art. I wish, because that, like, the framing wasn't a problem because I'd been doing it for so long.
Right.
But it was the starting my own business thing that So I'm just gonna figure out how to make it happen. And, you know, it's been a huge process and journey, but I wish when I was in school, I think it should be mandatory for any art student to have to take business classes. Because if you're serious about being an artist and really getting out there and making a living at this, there's so much more that you have to know than just the technical skill, you know, and most of us don't have the money when we're coming out of school to like pay for all these people to do these things for us, you know?
Right.
So there's a lot to know, and definitely, you know, how to do your taxes and, you know, just how to run, you know, accounting software and all sorts of stuff that I wish I had known that when I was venturing out.
Yeah. I totally understand that. I feel like for any person who's not essentially a business major, they should make you take some kind of business class, because I graduated from undergrad and I had no idea like what the job seeking process was like, because I had just had hourly jobs. You go, you drop off your resume, maybe you follow up with a phone call and then they call you or they don't for an interview. I didn't know any of the other stuff that I was supposed to do, so I just, you know, a lot of trial and error that I wish maybe I had some information about. And now, you know, we've kind of started our own business with the network here. So we're fumbling through it too.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's nice because once you start really, like, you have to be very open-minded and you have to be willing to, I find I learn a lot talking to people. Mm-hmm. And just asking questions, and just getting out there. I've met so many a lot of my good friends, my close friends are business owners, and we all share information and resources when we, you know, hear of something really great that's helpful, whether it's business related, working with clients, you know, the whole COVID thing, you know, how to manage a business during COVID. That's been a huge learning experience too. So it's really nice to have a support network. Really nice.
That's good to know.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
Sweet. What's the...
along
those lines. It's okay. I just like... I like asking this question, Corey.
No, it's you okay. Go. I wasn't going to... Yeah, I wasn't
just gonna make a face at me.
So go ahead. Yeah, there you go. That's my bit.
What's the worst piece of advice you've ever received?
The worst piece of advice was, "What's your plan B?"
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more a question than advice, but it was. I did not like that because. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, there is no plan B. Like, I'm going to make this work because I know this is what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
And having a plan B meant that I didn't believe enough in myself to really make it happen.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to be hard.
Yeah.
And I knew I was going to be taking risks, but when you have big ideas, that's how it goes. Like, you have to be willing to take the risk. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
That's the, go ahead.
Yeah, that's all right. Oh, sorry. Man, we keep on doing that today. I'm so sorry, man. See, this is what happens when you move away. We're not in sync. It makes it hard.
I'm sorry, JT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You funny, man. You a funny man.
No, you go ahead.
All right. Do you want to go first? Okay. Yeah. It is a lot of that, like, I'm going to be an artist, or like, I'm going to be a writer, or like this and that. It's just like, oh, that's nice. Okay. So what's your backup plan? What do you actually do kind of thing. And, a lot of that can like discourage people for sure. Or make them kind of be like, ooh, maybe I should do this instead. Or, oh, well, I did go to school for, I wanted to go to school for art, but I decided to go for like medicine or whatever like that, because they know that, you know, that's going to pay the bills. And it is unfortunate that there's that stigma that, like, you know, oh, well, you're not going to make any money. You're like, oh, good luck with that. Well, you know, you're going to do your thing. And it's just like, well,
you know, can't it be
a thing? That's what makes it so hard to achieve.
You know, that you might not have to work another job to save, to fund your dream and really, you know, because that's just part of the process. And, you know, you definitely have to take time to think through your, you know, what you're going to do. You have to plan it. And, you know, like, there's a lot of work that's involved in it. But, you know, it was always for sort of that gut feeling, that instinct. And I knew when I really listened to it, it was telling me what I needed to do. And every time I've really listened to it, it has not steered me wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good,
for sure.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. It's the gut instinct.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was, I've probably said it before on here, but there's a Bobcat Goldthwait, of all people, quote that I really like. He was talking about going from acting and comedy into directing and all the things that he's kind of done over the course of his career. And he says, you know, just keep quitting things until you find something you can't quit.
Yeah.
And like, and that's the thing that you should be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that makes sense in a very weird way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really does. Definitely been through a lot of that. many years.
I've tried lots of different things, but this is the thing that stuck. I love working with my hands, you know. I love doing stuff and making and creating. I'm a creator, and this is one venue of creativity. There's so many.
That's true.
So this is the one that
that's a good one to get into.
Allison the creator.
Allison,
any friends? There we go. That's the other Instagram. Follow it. Oh, but I mean, that's smart. It's like, people need frames. So I have a frame shop, you know, or people need prints.
But there are so many cool things. I mean, I can't imagine. Like you were saying again, I don't think about the nuances of things I don't know a lot about. And that's why one of the reasons I really like doing the show is because I get to talk to people who are experts in their fields about things that I don't know. And that idea of like preserving people's memories and the amount of interesting things that you get to interact with and people's stories that you get to hear. Like, that's incredible. That must be so cool.
Yeah. It really, it makes it very fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I say, you know, I've said many times before that, like, I have two different spaces. I've got my design room, and that's where I work with clients. That's where I have all the samples and like my mat samples and, you know, the tables where we lay things out and play around with ideas. And then I've got my workshop. And, I say many times that the design room, it's more than just a frame shop. Like, this is a space where I've had laughing so hard with clients. I've cried with clients and it's just been, you know, joy and helping people deal with some painful things also by, you know, preserving things that, you know, they lost somebody or even a pet, you know, so many different things. So it's really, an interesting way, like I was saying before, to be integrated in people's lives on a very different level. Yeah.
It's interesting because, especially listening to that, I was about to ask, it was like earlier, I was going to ask if you were going to try and like, you know, if things are growing as much as they are, like you're so busy, like, would you try and open up another shop? But it sounds like because you have this one-on-one nature with, you know, the clients and all that stuff, you know, you build these relationships, like it wouldn't be the same experience, you know? I mean, sure, you know, say you hire someone to run a shop, but it's just like, you know, it's you that they're coming there for, because it's like you're able to get on that level with them emotionally. That is like, I'll definitely go back to Allison every time. Like, you know, there's, you know, even if it wasn't her creative framing shop, it's just like, you know, she could be there. Like, you know, she could listen to my stories and stuff. So I like that. That's like, it's like, there's only one place you can go to get it. Like, and it's here.
One stop shop. So,
that's right.
That's special.
It's definitely got like the gears turning in my head about some story ideas now too, for sure. Like thinking about that, like things coming across the, coming into the shop and just, the connections people have with items and stuff like that.
Well, and I really, part of the fun of moving into the Made on State space and being directly involved in figuring out like creating that space. Like I really wanted it to be sort of like a framing boutique, I guess. I wanted it to be a space where people could come in and it was very professional, but it was comfortable and just like facilitated creativity and fun. Like I love working with my clients and some of them will come in there and they're kind of nervous and they're intimidated. And I'm like, we're just gonna play and have fun. Like this is, you know, like we're gonna pick stuff out. We're gonna see what works. You know, I've got ideas. Let's see what you think. You know, and I've got like so many framing samples. It's insane. It's fun. Yeah. It's really hard work.
I wish I could go there.
There's a lot it's involved like, that people probably don't realize. But it's good.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Well, Corey, when you go to visit Donut Delight, you'll also have to go to Creative Framing.
Oh yeah. I know. I have to now. I can't, like, and I've heard the stories and I've spoken to Allison and I'm just like, I guess I'll pop in.
We'll get a bunch of donuts and Donuts Delight and we'll bring them to the studio. And we'll all enjoy hanging out and we'll see Magnus and I'll give you a tour of the space.
Bring the king, Corey. We'll get that framed.
We're gonna have to do that though.
Good.
King's looking good too. It's looking good. I know I always say that.
Do you wanna show it off real quick?
Again, recovering. But
Yes.
Dude.
You could do that.
Okay, yeah, I guess I could do that.
So I was thinking about
1 second.
Okay.
I have to bring you guys
with good me. Thing.
Actually, I could probably prop it up on my easel. I just gotta move some things around.
Oh, okay.
Talk amongst yourselves really quick.
This is what I was thinking about when you were talking about carving frames and custom frames and stuff like that. This piece in particular, but I think it'd be really cool to talk to my dad about carving some of these faces into the frame. I think that would be really cool. So I definitely have to start bothering him about that because he's a reluctant artist, I feel like, unless it's something he really is interested in. He makes beautiful, beautiful things. Like built me this box. Hold on just a moment. Actually, I'll show it to you off the, when we're off the air, but you need to see this thing that he built, but.
Nice.
Hope there's enough light.
Ooh, he kept the beard.
See if there's enough light.
Couldn't see it before. It's lovely.
I did keep the beard. I trimmed it up a little bit. Thank you.
Very distinguished.
Let's see. I was gonna put on my light, but it kind of really messes with
it. It washes that one. It's probably great for drawing, but not great for displaying.
No, it is not at all. I'm looking at like my laptop camera.
Yeah, just but switch the other facing camera there, ding dong.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good for. No, when I was trying to speak to you guys, I was like speaking like this, but I'm like,
speaking to the microphone.
Like, I need to be right here. No, it is. Good for growing, but not good for
that. No, that is a sign of productivity.
That's right.
That's right. Oh, wow.
So this is
so far.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I have like a little less bits to go. Well, the thing is, I had too much.
Oh my god!
I had way too. Oh geez, like I don't know how to work a camera. no, I had a. It was way too dark on top, and it made it feel really weird. And I was just like, "What else needs to be in here to like balance this out?" And then I was like, "The sandstorm. You still have to add the sandstorm." So like, I just erased away near like the king and all that stuff. And then pulled out a bunch of like graphite up top. So I'm going to make room for clouds up there and then just like little like kind of faded towers in the back. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, there we go. Like, that's a look.
So
like,
that like, will come into the framing shop at some point. And then another piece that Corey has on deck for Sean will be coming into the framing shop at some point too.
Yeah, I can't wait to get that on. It's going to be smaller than this. I think it's going to be another weird dimension.
But yes.
Love it.
Definitely smaller, this though.
Too bad, though.
Love it.
definitely smaller. It's going to be like more kind of like a little more squat, I think, to exaggerate the landscape and all that stuff. So, yeah, definitely something wider. This is a very large piece for me, because I usually work like 9x12 and all that stuff and just like character stuff. So having to do like character and buildings, like I'm like, but it's That's good. Right. Challenges are good.
Yeah.
I'm reading off my teleprompter, by the way, too.
I've learned a lot
of challenges. I had to add that.
That's for sure.
Yeah, so it's been a labor of love, but there's also been a lot of running around and figuring out other life stuff in between. So, yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, no,
it makes me so happy to see artists like
about it.
Doing their thing.
Yeah,
it makes me so happy. It's great. Yeah. It does, doesn't it? I
it feels good to hear about it too.
I really would love to smash these starving artist stigma.
That's what we're trying to do.
I hate that stigma. It stinks.
That's it. That's what really we're working on with. Kind of the goal. One of our goals of our network, like what got us started with the show, was working to change that.
So. Excellent.
Yeah, I mean. Like you've seen, it's fumbling. I'm so crazy. Kirk keeps it together, but yeah, it's a lot of just like encouraging people to get out there and like do your thing and let's see your thing, like talk about it, all that stuff. So,
Allison, if people want to find you, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram.
I didn't even know I was going to do that.
He's off the teleprompter.
Yep. So sorry. I'll mute myself.
I'm on Instagram, Creative Framing, CREATIV, and then Framing. I'm on Facebook, also Creative Framing and Design is my full name. And then I've got a website, creativeframinganddesign.com.
Excellent.
Yeah. Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Likes it.
Thank
you. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I likes it. What? I thought you were going to say something. I didn't want to interrupt you, Kirk.
You weren't going to say anything?
I wasn't going to say anything either. I saw your lips moving and I was just like, I got to get ready to interrupt them. I mean,
gotta get ready to interrupt. Put some chapstick on.
Chapstick, yes.
Mr. Chapstick.
Hey, I'm all about chapstick. I have one by my bed. I've got one in my purse. I've got one in the kitchen. Like,
It's a necessity. It's
strategically placed around the house.
I never have to go with my dry lips.
Oh, absolutely. No. Oh, it's a sin.
Yeah. Horrible. Who wants to live like that?
My religion.
Wait,
Oh no, okay. Kirk, we got some further story.
Corey, I have to ask you a question. What's your preference for chapstick? Because I know even though we say chapstick,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a brand.
That's true. Lip balm.
What's your favorite?
Okay. My absolute. It is like it's more than you should pay for lip balm, but I'm a Burt's Bees man. I got them Burt's. Yo, Burt's is the best. Yeah. no one beats the Burt's.
No, that's what I buy. I buy the multi packs
to
have four.
Mm-hmm. I had to because I kept on losing those damn things.
Just really quick, have you seen total offshoot of conversation?
Mm-hmm. Oh, have totally you fine.
Seen the Burt's? There's a Burt's Bees documentary that talks about Burt. Have you seen it? It's really good.
What? No. Where's it at? Where can I find it? I'm gonna watch it right now.
I don't think it was Netflix. I'll have to get back to you on that.
You will. Just like message mm-hmm. me.
Yeah, I have this.
Yeah.
I love documentaries. I watch so many documentaries. I sometimes forget where I'm watching them.
Yeah. Everyone's trying to get in the game. That's why they're like, yo, we got documentaries on Amazon. Yo, we got them on Netflix. Yo, we got them on HBO Max.
Well, I have this. I kind of blew through a lot of the ones that I like on Amazon and Netflix. So I got connected with this Curiosity Stream, and they've got a lot of cool documentaries.
Oh, nice.
Because I watch a lot of that stuff when I'm like working them. In my mm-hmm. workshop. It's that or music.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Or, bad movies. Well, either movies I've seen before or like. Mm-hmm. Actually, sometimes Nature Docs.
Burt's Buzz is what it's called.
Because you know, I'm all about yes. the nature.
And it is available Burt's on Buzz. Amazon Prime for free. And you can also, I think you can watch it on YouTube for free too, it looks like.
Yeah. He is such an interesting man. It's so cool to see his story.
So he's like a real man. Does he actually look like the man on the thing?
He's just doing his thing. Mm. Like he's the most chill, laid back.
Just doing it up.
You know, jeans, t-shirt, beard, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
the whole thing.
Check it out.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I enjoyed it. Okay, I'm gonna have to now. I'm gonna enjoy it then. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna enjoy it. Yes, I want it.
I got a crazy documentary for you, Allison. I mean, I tried to get Corey to watch it a couple of times, but check out Corey's Life.
Corey's Life.
Yeah, that's what it is. No, tomorrow it's not that. We haven't done that yet.
Video edition.
Full circle, the donut life of Corey Crosdale.
Would be wild.
Oh my God.
Like, who are these people? Tomorrow Isle.
Jodorowsky's Dune is a really cool documentary about a movie that never got made, but it's crazy. It really inspired me to do a bunch of like fun and cool work because it's just basically vision, some crazy French director's vision for making Dune in the 70s, and it kind of goes through some of like he like assembled this crazy team. Salvador Dali was going to be in the movie because he told him he would pay him I think $1,000 a second to be in the movie for a minute, because Salvador Dali's thing was like, I want to be the highest paid actor of all time. This is the only way I'm doing this. And so they basically figured out, they're like, we only need him for 60 seconds, so we'll pay him something stupid per second. But the movie never got made, unfortunately. But it's a really cool it's a really cool watch.
Yeah.
And that's on Amazon.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you gotta check that out.
Love it.
We'll all check it out like this. Mm-hmm. We'll be on Zoom. I'm gonna watch it and we'll comment on it. Commentary on the commentary.
That's right.
As they do. Yes, but Dune, Burt's Bees for sure. I do have a four pack in rotation currently, because I keep on losing them, and I'm like, that's like $3.99 to like $4.99 a lip balm. That's crazy.
It's so, good. It's the only thing that actually works.
Yeah. It really is, because chapstick is done. I used to be a chapstick man. Like, you used to get the blue ones, black ones, whatever. Nah. As soon as, like, Burt's Bee came on the stage, and I'm like, who is this? And I was like, all right, let me put this on.
That's when you truly became a man. Stuff.
Literally. It's my life.
You were a boy.
It's worth the money.
Before. Now you're a man because of Burt's Bee.
That'd be a hell of a commercial. Oh, my God. I'm going to pitch it to him. Does he do social media? I feel like he just
lives out in the wild. He totally, he lives out in like the middle of nowhere. He loves like being by himself, just doing his thing.
Just lives among the bees.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to show up though and be like, yo, let's shoot a commercial. I got ideas. Yep. Let's do it.
You're going
to, like, who is this man? I'm like,
that's right. You're number one. You're gonna have to live among the bees for a month, Corey, and learn their ways before he'll accept you.
The ways of the bee.
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
All the little dances.
It'll be another. That's it'll right. be another journey in my life. Yeah, yeah. Could you imagine? All right, you need to take us out because I've gotten to the. I've gotten to the point where I'm crazy.
Burt's Bees and donuts and donut frames. And
donut frames.
Honey donuts.
I would love to make donut frames. Yeah. That would be like the funnest thing. Yeah.
Just start
our laser cutter.
You have no idea. That'd be
our laser cutter. I want to spend more time playing with that because I can do so many cool things with that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So real quick, would it be like? Do you think it would be like donuts, just like individual donuts around like a circular frame, or would it just be like one big donut makes a frame with like some frosting sprinkles
in the middle? Of Corey's donut receipts.
I haven't kept all of them, but I can make more.
I don't like having limitations, and I don't like being told I can't do things. So I would say we could do any of those. Yeah.
Okay.
It could be a rectangular frame, like what you said, with like a bunch of different donuts on it. Or yeah, it could be like you were saying, one big donut.
Yeah.
Like one big donut. That's what I pictured the first time. I thought like donut frames. I don't even know how we got started on donut frames. That just seems
we're talking about donuts.
That's why why it's fun.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's the whole point with custom framing. You got to get creative, man. Got to get creative. Yeah.
Oh, you got to. I'm going to think about this more than I probably should. But yeah.
Okay.
Take us out because you know I'm going to.
Thank you, Allison, very much for hanging with us and talking about your business and donuts and all manner of other things. We really appreciate it. And anytime that you want to come on and talk about more about the business, or if you want to do an episode about bees and lip balm and donuts and stuff like that, let us know. You are always welcome.
Bert.
Awesome. Well, this has been really super fun. Time. And anytime. You guys are a blast. Thank you for having me.
Thank
you. This was
great. And if you guys want to connect with us, we're on Instagram at Schemes Come True Network. If you wanna, oh my god, Corey, I'm trying email us at schemescometruenetwork@gmail.com and make sure to check out our Patreon and all of the weird and wild rewards we have for patrons at patreon.com/schemescometrue. Thanks for listening, people. Just remember that as Zac Efron says, we're all in this together. Hey, everybody, it's Mr. Kirk. We were laughing so hard at the end of that episode that I forgot to shout out our patrons. So a big thank you, as always, to Peter B., Sean J., the lovely, lovely Seymour Butts, and a new patron this week, actually last week. Thank you to Barden Creative for kicking us some cash to keep the lights on. And as always, if you want to support us, check us out at patreon.com/schemescometrue. We could not do it without you.